What can prepare you for this, dating 30 people at the same time? I'm a teacher.
I'm constantly thinking about, like, my students.
This is a new feeling to me.
Overwhelmed in a very good way.
This is hard.
It felt so good.
Absolutely terrible.
Class is in session.
Hello, Internet.
Hey, gang.
Hello.
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 Hello. This is the Men Tell All
episode. This is the Men Tell All episode. I mean, before...
What are you doing here? I'll say it.
Okay.
Everyone's thinking it.
Everyone's thinking it.
You're not allowed to tell all.
What are you doing here? You don't know how I identify, first of all. Second of all...
No, there's one woman who's allowed to tell all. It happens, you know.
Yeah.
It's Michelle. Sure. Or you.
Or
in the case
me.
Of our show.
Right. Do we have any updates this week? Anything fun that we did this weekend? Anything that, you know... To catch people up about, you know.
I don't.
I feel like there was something. What was it? T.
Right.
Ooh,
we ordered a pizza with some extra sauce.
We did order a pizza. That was good. That was food. Yeah. Well,
That's what we've done.
You know, we'll find it. So the Men Tell All episode is usually
Tuesday. Why are we doing this on Monday?
Well, we're doing this on Monday because ABC Live is happening tomorrow, where we are doing Different Strokes and the Facts of Life.
I gotta go to the office tomorrow. I can't.
That's right.
Stay up. Don't they check my schedule?
I mean, it's the least that
it's
they could do.
It's a little bit irresponsible.
It's the least that they could do. I mean, we are, you know, the Bachelor Nation's number one podcast.
We had 1,000 listens on an episode a week or two ago. 1,000. Taylor Robinson.
Well,
you
usually our finale episodes get pretty high numbers, but 1,000 is a lot.
Because they're the newest episode for like 6 months
at
a time.
Yeah, but you know what? Thanks, gang. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it as per usual.
Hey, it's great.
It's great.
It's to like the 30 people who I know listen to the show. Thank you.
Thank
to
you.
To like the 970 other people.
Thank you even more.
Thank
you very much, and continue to spread the wealth. I guess the only thing to say is that the Men Tell All and Women Tell All episodes are usually the worst episodes of the entire season. Basically, it's just one two-hour-long recap with bloopers. And so the great thing that they've been doing over the past couple seasons is they've been introducing sort of clips from... previous dates that were never seen before so that you get some new content. But most of the time, it's basically just people rehashing their old relationships, which is super annoying because if I wanted to do that, I would just go through my phone Rolodex and just start calling my exes, which I also don't want to do. So here we are.
I mean, if you haven't watched the show, you know,
this is a great primer.
If it's 2003,
right?
And you maybe have class on Monday night or something, and you don't always catch the episodes.
I thought you were going to start saying, you know, if you were a UFO and you had landed on Earth, and Monday was the day that you decided to watch television to consume content.
This would be a bad start.
This would be a bad start, but this would be the episode to give you a pretty strong recap of what happened over the course of the season.
Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Also, thanks for believing UFOs. Really appreciate that.
What I'm saying is
the truth is out there. Though space is not the final frontier.
It's not even the final frontier anymore.
Absolutely not. The ocean is.
If it weren't just an option to sit down and find any episode and watch this at your leisure whenever you want.
Right.
You probably need a format like this. Maybe you missed a week. Maybe you missed two. Maybe you don't watch it all the time anyway.
It's true. And you know what? Honestly, the recap shows that, you know, that have become famous on the housewife circuit have a little bit more color commentary to it than this. Because this is still so structured and so sort of packaged for ABC that I don't think they could ever get to the sort of Bravo level.
Well, I mean,
what's happening?
100% of the people on stage on those shows are professionals, and this season, like 100% of our people are just kind of first time wannabes,
right?
Except for Michelle,
right? So let's get into what happened. So there's a couple segments.
Let's recap
for the recappers. So there's a couple segments that you know, we really focused on. We talked a lot to the villains at the beginning of the show, the villains from Michelle's
season.
That
was my big takeaway. There were a lot more villains than I remember.
Yeah, and I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that the guys that are all pretty much left are, that are really quote-unquote good, are still on the show. One, so that's three guys that are out of the running towards becoming America's Next Top Model on the couch. They can't talk to Clayton because he's the Bachelor and he's filming the
Leroy's not even here.
What
is that about?
Rodney, they talk to, and Rick Rickman, they talk to. And that was the final six. That was everybody.
Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time with villains tonight. We spent a lot of time with people that we didn't want to talk
to. I feel like that's pretty usual, though.
I mean,
the first 30 minutes of this episode is almost always just, I'm going to open the floor to two people who we all know hate each other, and they're just going to bite back at each other and talk over each other, and then eventually we're going to go to commercial. And that's kind of what we had for the first 30 minutes. You know, it starts out as Will versus Peter, which, if you don't remember this fight, let me do a quick recap. They're two pretty bad people who don't like each other. Will is better than Peter, but they're both pieces of trash.
Barely, right.
And so they just fight the whole time.
Drama!
And so we recapped that by having them fight the whole time.
Right. So that happened. I'm not going to rehash it because it's super dumb. Basically, they're still mad at each other. Peter's still mad that Will called him a narcissist, and Will still rightfully is put off by Peter's general personality.
Peter is terrible, you know. He's a gabagool, but, like, not in a good way.
No, he's, you know, the worst kind of Italian person.
It's,
I feel like there's some endearing stuff that is related to the kids of Jersey Shore. You know, like, Snooki's endearing. She's a sweet kid. She's just a,
this is fake, then.
Yeah, but
this is somebody
is
trying
that
to bottle and sell the Jersey Shore, like, magic sauce.
Yeah.
And it's very inauthentic not super likable.
Exactly. So, there was also a moment where we were able to talked to Martin for a little bit. He continued to be himself, a person that is sort of a two-timing, sort of two-faced, mean boy who likes to say that women are high maintenance. Excuse me, females are high maintenance, when in turn, he's actually the one that's pretty high maintenance.
I mean, sometimes women are high maintenance.
I understand that.
Sometimes guys are high maintenance.
I understand that, too.
It's a real-life thing that people do.
Yeah.
Martin's terrible, though.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's terrible now. He was terrible when he was a contestant.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go on being terrible in his real life for forever.
Right.
He's just garbage.
So one of the things that was revealed during the moment where we spoke to Martin just a little bit about his time on the show was that apparently he had a girlfriend very recently. Before,
unofficial girlfriend.
Quote unquote. Had an unofficial girlfriend very recently before he went on to the show.
Crazy.
Decided that they were going to go on a break while he was on the show. Then somebody said, well, how can you be on a break when from your girlfriend on the show? And then Martin proceeded to say, well, we don't have phones, so obviously we can't be in a relationship. Yeah. So once Martin left the program, the two of them got back together, and now he's very happy in a long-term relationship.
Is he, though? Do you think he is? Or do you think he's just trying to get the upper hand and be like, listen, I'm winning life. I know it looks like people hate me, but trust me, I'm still awesome.
It seems pretty suspicious, and I really hope that the girl that he is with watched the show back. Because, you know, this is the kind of person that your partner is like when you're not around. So think about that.
I mean, what kind of woman do you think is dating him to begin with?
I know exactly the kind of woman that's
I don't think
him.
She's
the kind of woman that he complains about being rampant in Miami, the high maintenance woman.
I mean, like breeds like. He gets what he is, right?
It's true.
He dates the female version of what he is, the male version of.
Right.
Right?
That's correct.
And the things that he hates about other people, isn't this the most appropriate thing? The thing that he hates about other people is the thing that he doesn't recognize about himself. I hate to get all minor in psychology.
No, I mean, that is true. That is exactly what's happening here.
It's funny to me that when Martin was getting his, you know, 2 or 3 minutes as the pinata, my man Romeo comes in and goes, listen, I was totally under the spell. I wanted to like you so bad.
I know.
First of all, in retrospect, I'm having a hard time deciding who the best character from this season was. Because I still really like Romeo. I still really like Olu. And despite his absence, I still really like Leroy. But Romeo, I think Romeo is my favorite character because of this. Because there were a couple of... There was more than just Martin. It was Martin and somebody else, too. I think maybe Jamie. Romeo was like, yo, listen, I was on your side. I thought you were legit. I thought you were, like, the guy. And then I watched the footage back, and I was like, I'm stupid. You were terrible.
Yeah, Romeo really opened up the kimono. Excuse me, not supposed to say that anymore. But he really opened himself up and said...
Opened up the gentleman's bathrobe.
Okay. He opened up his robe and said, I'm going to be vulnerable and share something with you. Like, I made a lot of friends through this experience, and there were a lot of people that I really connected with and looked up to. And I made the wrong choice about who I connected to and opened up to and looked up to. And you were one of those people, Martin.
But you know what? He gave people the benefit of the doubt. Mm. And that's a thing. That's an irreplaceable quality in a person. Romeo was the best guy.
I'm going to let
It's definitively true. Romeo is the best guy from the season.
I'm going to let you have that.
Sometimes you make mistakes. It's fine.
It's fine. He owned up to it.
Think about all the people who will actually like you and feel respected, you know, appropriately because you gave them the benefit of the doubt.
Romeo has always been a 10 for me, and he went to Harvard. So next up, also, we heard a little bit from Chris S., as you remember him. He talked over Michelle during his whole, I don't know, trying to be a valiant sort of person and making her feel seen, and that was weird. And then basically... Chris didn't say a whole lot. He didn't really have a whole lot to say. He didn't do a great job of defending himself.
I think he got into this trouble to begin with because he had nothing to say. And, like, he was looking for some last gasp Hail Mary type thing.
Also, he's a little shrimpy and he behaves in a way that is shrimpy.
She doesn't even go here.
I'm not going to have you slander. First of all, look who's talking.
Excuse you. My height is cute. Taylor's
height is a disputed fact in this house, in this studio.
How dare you? I'm 5'2".
I knew you were going to say that. No measuring tape says that.
How dare you?
No measuring tape says that.
Oh my God, that's what they say when I'm at the doctor. At least I don't say I'm 5'7" like my mom's driver's license does. She is not 5'7". Sorry. Ooh.
There's nothing good to say about Chris.
Chris was trying to redeem himself, and Olu, obviously, as we remember, Chris and Olu got into it a little bit. It was terribly funny when Tayshia asked Olu, you know, Olu, do you have anything to say? And he said, oh man. And everybody just really roared from the crowd. And then finally,
it's funny because Olu is jacked.
Yeah.
And like, he is big, and he is, like, gentle and sweet, but he is jacked.
Olu is not somebody to trifle with.
And again, I don't want to make fun of somebody's size. Chris is not the size of person to be messing with someone the size of Olu. That's just, I'm all about judging people by their qualities not just how they could do in a fight, you know? But it's sort of an undeniable part of human nature. You know, like,
hey, man.
We have evolved to the point where millennia after millennia of just the biggest guy around beating the shit out of little guys sort of makes this societal culture where, you know, you should know how big you are when you talk to people.
That is right. That is absolutely right. And there's a lot of people and dogs that don't necessarily know that.
I'm a small guy. I don't like it that it's like that, but I'm a small guy who loves people. So it's kind of different.
It's kind of different.
I'm a very non-threatening small guy.
That is true. So, finally, we speak to Jamie. So, Jamie was off of the set at the beginning of the episode, and he personally got couch time. What were your thoughts about how... Now, to recap, Jamie obviously had a strong flame for Michelle that burned out pretty quickly after he circulated a rumor about her that basically said that she was not who she seemed. Adam, how do you think Jamie fared in his time on the couch?
I think Jamie has a strong case of Keith Raniere syndrome.
Whoa, and you know... That's the devil's word that you just said in here.
Just like absolute dedication to your own perfection and like the twisted logic that it takes for you to come out as pure and blameless in all possible interactions. And like, it's not an act. He really believes.
He really believes.
He is,
yeah, he's, you know, drinking God's gift. Kool-Aid,
like, quite
sure.
Literally, God's gift, a prophet among
he
us.
He does think he's a prophet.
I mean, that's, and the guys on the couch, not a couch, the guys in the studio,
right,
all basically kind of said the same thing. Like, dude, you are this like mythic character around the house. Like, you have this energy and, it's first of all, it's not good.
Right.
But second of all, it's something everyone always notices and talks about.
Right.
You just don't shut up and you just, keep going. It's
and you talk in circles, which is also, you know, something that a lot of the guys brought up. So, you know, Jamie first started his sort of blurb and spiel about what he thought of Michelle, that, you know, and his time on the show, that it was so easy getting to know her and she was so amazing and all of this kind of stuff. And
she,
it's
would
like,
be the perfect conduit.
She would be the perfect
for the son of Jamie to save us all from our sins.
Right. And so like, it was super weird that he would go off on this tangent about her when in reality, he was saying all of these other things about how she was in spring break mode and how she was not ready for this. And he's so much better than her. And on top of that, like, you know, not to mention that he basically created a rumor that made it sound like she was easy, which all of that doesn't go with what he said.
Nope.
So a number of the other guys basically were just like, why don't you just apologize for what you said? Rodney said that specifically.
He's not going to do that.
Casey was completely over it. He said, we'd never get any straight talk or answers from you. Answer the question, yes or no. And then Romeo, as you mentioned, was the one that spoke up and said, you know, I really looked up to you.
I had joined the Church of Jamie.
I had joined the Church of Jamie, and I was
Jamie Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And here's the thing about Romeo. I love him, but the more that
you better watch it.
Well.
Dangerous.
The more that he talks about, you know, the kind of guys that he looked up to on the show, it worries me that he may, you know, be in a cult.
No.
Or he may be susceptible to being a cult.
No, think about it like this.
Scientology?
Think about it like this.
You know?
No, nobody has enough money to be in Scientology, first of all.
You know there's a Scientology center here in San Francisco?
Yeah, because people in San Francisco are rich.
Why didn't you tell me that?
I'm not a part of it.
Why didn't you tell me that you knew where it was?
Oh, I don't know where it is. I know that there
is
one here.
It's in North Beach. I didn't know this.
Do you want to go? Why would you go?
I didn't say that. I didn't say I wanted to.
The thing about Romeo is that you don't know how many of the good guys he's also into. He's like, yeah, I got trapped up by Jamie. I got trapped up by Martin, whatever. But he's probably also following around Leroy and Olu. You know, he's probably on with the good guys too. He just likes liking people.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
That sounds like you. You know, and Jamie also continued to, you know, circle the truth. Other guys were saying things like, no, I specifically asked you about this rumor and you said you didn't know where it came from. And Jamie's response, instead of saying, yeah, you're right, I said that, was, well, you never asked me who said it. So you just lied due to omission, which also is very weird.
The thing about him, and this is the thing, there are real life people like this. This is a PSA.
Oh.
For everyone out there, you know, if you
get your dating profiles ready.
If you know somebody like this, like Jamie is doing, who is just all 100% of the time on this mission to prove to you that they understand reality like one level deeper than you're understanding it at all points in time, lose that person.
Run.
You know? You can say basic things to Jamie like, yo, you should have combed your hair before going on TV, first of all. He would go, no, no, listen, like, there's three kinds of comb.
There's two levels of understanding here that you really need
We got to talk about what you're saying is comb, but I think what you really mean is comb, right? There's a second kind of comb you haven't even considered. Right. Am I blowing your mind right now?
Right.
They just expect so much praise for their pseudo intellect.
No. The answer is no. Period.
Second of all, in general, I think as the show has progressed, and you can, you know, go back and listen to our season one, and just go all the way through to now to monitor this. I think as the show has progressed, the editing and the ABC process or whatever has just removed nuance from everyone's character. There's no more thing as, like, somebody who's pretty good most of the time but was kind of bad in this one situation or the other way around. Now everyone is just wholly a villain or wholly a superhero, and that's all they are, and that's just, they edit them that way. In real life, people are not like that. Everyone's a little bit of good and a little bit of bad and a little bit of whatever. And the reason we have so many villains is because there's just no such thing as the in-between anymore.
Right. And also, this is an effort for the show to make a series of characters that they can then pitch for the next show, pitch for Bachelor in Paradise, so that people can have a redemption arc. I mean, I think the first time we really saw this was with Nick Viall, who had probably the most iconic redemption arc in the history of Bachelor Nation. Starting off as fully a villain, basically going on to, you know, after the final rose and telling Andy the Dorf Dorfman, if you weren't in love with me, then why did you make love to me? And then going on Caitlyn's season, and then again being sort of
second place.
Poor him, even after throwing his body at people, because, you know, Nick Viall can't do anything without having sex with it. And then goes on Bachelor in Paradise, and then becomes this sort of ne'er-do-well, I-just-want-to-find-love person, and then becomes The Bachelor.
He has an extremely nuanced career, an extremely kind of mixed up-and-downs career on the show. We don't
get fabricated,
that.
But...
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
But we don't get that anymore.
No.
Now the fabrication is just to eliminate that at all and just make everyone either super good or super bad. Ironically, the one person they did not do that with was Clayton, the person they've made the whole
right,
show about.
Right, we built all these other relationships with these guys. Like, I know more about Martin than I do about Clayton. And, like, that's not good.
It's weird. So, like, there's this one part of the show tonight where they try to just run this pro-Clayton propaganda where they fed...
We don't live in China, guys!
They fed all the best guys, like Rodney and Rick. They fed them all these, like, pro-Clayton lies. Like, hey, talk about how great of a dad he's going to be. And then you talk about how deserving of love he is. And then you talk about how calm he is in the house.
And then you talk about his personality coming through on the show.
Yeah. And then they just go, okay, so now we're going to talk about Clayton. And all these guys go around and they say this stuff. And you sit there and you go, if he was like this, why didn't we see
it? Why didn't you tell me about it a long
time
ago?
Where was this?
Right.
Not that Clayton is bad. Clayton is just nothing.
Nope. He's just really want some answers.
He's very bland.
Yes.
He's not half good, half bad. He is whole nothing.
He's a football player from the Midwest.
I'm nothing wrong with being from the Midwest.
Dime a dozen.
I'm sure we're going to find out more about him on his season, but why?
Why?
Why didn't we know more now?
Even with all the villains, like I said earlier, there were a couple of guys that sort of made a name for themselves during this segment that I think garner a second look.
Who's the number one standout?
I think the number one standout here was Casey.
Obviously, it's Casey.
You know,
you're very right.
I said earlier in the season that Casey seemed like a very strong narrator for the show. They kept going back to him. He had a lot of really strong things to say during the in the moments and things like that. And then during this episode, Casey turned it on. And there's something to be said about someone who can command the energy of a group of wily guys. The fact that he could say something and everybody was quiet. You notice that?
You know what I love about
Casey?
Those
are the kind of people that, like, you gotta really look out for.
Casey talks fast and uses big words, which is a style that I agree with. He's clever and fast. I think people... they shut up when he talks because they know that they can't get into a conversation with him where he's not going to just run circles around them.
Right.
He's just super, super quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this to you during the show, and I'll say it now.
Oh, boy.
I'll say it now while we're on the air to everyone who's listening. I have, for seasons now, I have expressed a desire to have a male host and a female host. And I've always said Wells and Tayshia would make the two best. And I think I'm at a point where I think Casey could be the male host of the show, and it would be just as good.
Yeah. I mean, he has not made a name for himself in the same way that Wells has made a name for himself.
He's not attractive like Wells.
And he's not, you know, Wells has, you know, gone to the second stratosphere of this whole thing. But Casey is really good at assessing situations and really synthesizing them in a way that is good for the layperson. And also, he does give a good dragging. He gives a good drag.
Mm-hmm. He is sharp, and I mean that in both the, like, smart and barbed kind of way.
Right. So, two of the people that they focused on the positive side on the couch were Rick Rickman and Rodney. So, Rick Rickman got a little bit of extra time to make a great impression for everybody. I think the other thing that we need to talk about before we talk about getting into Rick Rickman and Rodney is that because we have already selected The Bachelor, the impact of people being on the couch is absolutely meaningless.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Right?
Dumb.
What are we doing here?
What's happening?
There's really no
point. What a waste of time.
There's no point here except for the guys to kind of act out and try to get a few more Instagram followers.
Exactly.
They already know who's going to go on Paradise, probably.
Yeah.
We already know who the next Bachelor is going to be.
Right.
You're just here to get a 16th minute.
The girls
are just
literally hanging out. Where in previous seasons, there was maybe a question that, you know, maybe you might still be in the running towards becoming America's Next Top Model. You might be,
They're testing how the crowd reacts to you.
Yeah, they're testing how the crowd reacts to you. But, like, now that Clayton has already been selected from the field, the impact of Rick being on the couch to say, you know, I still really care about Michelle. I could see all of these things happening in our life. And, you know, him making a great impression on the crowd, and that Rodney being this sort of fantastic person who came from the shadows to, you know, become this wonderful person that everybody loves means nothing.
Yeah, it's a good performance here. It goes nowhere. You're just kind of snake bitten, like underbitten.
Anything new from Rick and Rodney that you heard tonight that you really want to latch onto? I got a brief comment. I mean, both of these things obviously also solidify even more why it makes no sense that Clayton was selected as the Bachelor. We know more about Rick and more about Rodney than we could have ever imagined. Rodney could have been another, you know, great person of color for the list. Rick is awesome, okay?
Rodney doesn't look the part.
No, Rodney doesn't look the part.
Olu looks the part.
That is true.
Rick looks the part.
Rick looks the part. Rodney is not my favorite on an attractiveness scale, but he has charmed the pants off of people.
He's incredibly charming.
He's charmed the pants off
of people. He's a good dude.
He really has.
He's a good dude.
I never thought Nick Viall was hot. I mean, he was hot from the neck down, but, like, who cares, you know?
Bit of an underbite there, too.
Ugh. Yuck.
So what I want to say is, you and I watch a lot of Guys Grocery Games, right?
Ugh. Great show.
We watch a lot of Guys. We watch it at lunch, you know, when we work from home together. We watch it when we're just sitting around. We watch a lot of Guys Grocery Games.
I mean, Guy Fieri really, you know, is giving back to the community in ways that other people are not.
And here is something that the judges say. If you don't watch the show, it's a cooking show, right? These chefs get a challenge. They make a dish, and then they get judged, and the best one wins.
Right.
That's what happens.
Right.
We're going to take a brief rundown, brief departure from this. Here's how the show has gone. The first maybe 30 or 40 minutes, a bunch of Will and Peter fighting, a bunch of villains fighting, a bunch of, you know, Casey's tearing people down, but, like, Ryan's getting destroyed. Martin's getting destroyed. Chris is getting destroyed.
Right.
It's just
chaos.
Like, a lot of guys talking at the same time.
We're choosing violence.
It's chaos, and it's negative, and it's, like, fighting, right?
Yeah.
Then Jamie gets on the couch, and guess what? Everyone's talking, and everyone's fighting, and everyone just wants to get one last word in on the shaman, Jamie, and it's just mean.
Right.
Now it's Rick's turn. This is where we go back to Guys Grocery Games. You don't ever want a dish that's just all spicy or all vinegary or all cheesy or all something.
It's got to be balanced.
You got to cut it with something.
You got to balance it. You have to have some freshness on the plate. You got to have some acid.
Some crunch.
Yeah, something's got to crunch.
You got to cut your bites with something else. And that's exactly what Rick is.
You can't give me a plate with everything is the same color. You got to give me fried chicken with some grits and then with a little remoulade on top and then, you know, hit me with some lemon.
Put a jalapeno slice on top, but don't fry it because now it's the same as the other stuff.
Everything's fried. Yes, absolutely.
That's what Rick is. Mm-hmm. Rick is the unfried jalapeno on top of the spice of the Jamie and crew, fiery chili.
He's giving me balance.
He's
the fresh salad.
It's a very, the audience isn't really that involved. He's just being overly sweet and kind of soppy. That's what he is.
That's Rick Rickman.
And that's what he does. He doesn't say anything of meaning. We don't need that. We already understand he's a good guy. He's just here to regulate the emotions and give us some variety.
They give him, sort of a replica of his head on a platter from his intro to Michelle where he had his head on a platter.
It's a time for some fun gimmicks. Not hateful gimmicks, sweet gimmicks.
You know, is it real? Is it cake? I don't know.
It's just one act of television where we can all say, well, yeah, this guy's a good guy.
He's nice.
And we haven't had that yet. Right. We just need it so that the show isn't just this parade of buffoons, who were all just sort of laughable.
Right. Also, Rodney had his time on the couch. Anything
similar,
new?
Similar story there.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say about Rodney. And Rodney is a perfectly desirable real-world dating option.
Yes.
Who's going to make some woman extremely happy.
Yeah.
But this show is not for Rodney.
Right.
The show does not cater to people like Rodney. You have to have, and it's not my rules, you have to have some baseline threshold of physical attractiveness that's very high to succeed on the show.
Yeah.
Rodney has everything but that.
Right.
But it's television. It's television. Looks.
We're just on TV, guys. The other thing that happened among all of this was that Caitlin sort of stopped the show to asked Tayshia how she was doing. As we all know, Tayshia and Zach very recently broke up. I struggle with this part. I don't totally know if this was planned.
I think it was.
I
think it was.
I don't know.
She knew it was coming because nothing is unplanned.
Right.
It's a television. Taylor
You're
Robinson.
Right. I know.
Can I tell you something?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's a television show.
It felt like an ambush.
Drama.
And whether it was planned or not, maybe Tayshia is still very raw from the whole experience.
That's definitely true.
And maybe that's why it felt like that. And, she's still very raw from the whole experience and from the breakup. And she is, not over it. And I don't blame her. She was really in love with Zach. And, whatever happened, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too, but also I'm available.
She's still really hot.
I can't even think about it. I think the show was sort of trying to put on an air of, we're honest. People in the audience know this is going on. It's going to be weird to not say anything about it.
Yeah.
And so they helped her prepare a basically one sentence answer about it. They would cut their losses.
Mm-hmm.
It is obviously bad for the show that all of their matches, all of their romances,
especially the most recent ones,
and especially with her, she's the host of the show now.
Yeah,
she's not just a bachelorette who found someone.
Right,
she is the person they've put their chips on, and she just had a failed relationship. They have to do something to pretend that these relationships work.
Exactly.
So she had to come out here and mitigate things and be like, yeah, it failed, but don't worry. Everything's still going great. Whatever.
We still have
great.
So much love for one another. All of that
she
kind of
stuff.
She had
to just like stomach that line out and then
yeah, and then excuse herself so that she could gather her sort of thoughts and everything. Still sad to see Tayshia in such a way. And exactly. She's a host of the show. And so it doesn't look great for the program that the host of the show, who is supposed to also be engaged to someone within Bachelor Nation, is no longer engaged to someone within Bachelor Nation. So
it's tough. She seems like a good person. You want to, cheer for her and everything. Yeah. It's I don't know. It's just weird. Like, these... We should just not pretend that these relationships are ever going to work. It's weird that you have to get married at the end of it. Like, I don't know why there's any expectation that would ever work.
It's very weird.
You know, but that's television.
So we also took a look at some clips from some dates that we missed out on. The farm date, which, as you know, was one of my favorites from this
season. I remember you being enthusiastic about it.
Yes. There was also a portion of that date where the gentleman carved some butter, carved some statues, some items out of butter.
It was a lot of butter, too. They each got... It was like 90 pounds
of butter.
They each, not like total, each person had a 90-pound block of butter to the skull.
That's a lot of butter. So among all of the gentlemen that were on the date, Nate had a beautiful sculpture that
Nate, he carved.
He carved like a ring out of this butter. I was like, how did you infrastructurally do this?
It was incredible. It was
I've never seen anything like that.
Three-dimensional.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
I mean, I've seen, like, some of the sculptures that people create out of butter, but, like, this was not what I expected from an amateur.
I have essentially seen the same cow sculpted out of butter every year. My entire life.
Yes, exactly. At every state fair ever. And this was nuts. And then everybody else basically butchered their butter and made, like, a heart. Like, yes. Joe made, like, a weird basketball butt heart. Basketball.
I think it is very difficult for amateur sculptor to make a heart that doesn't look like
a butt
or a pair of breasts. I think it's very hard.
Okay.
And I think that's why they didn't air it.
Everyone's like,
yeah, I made a heart.
That looks like a butt. That looks like a butt.
Your boner showing.
Yeah. They also showed more clips from the room crashing, which I thought was really fun. And we got to see Steven, I think, was on that. We got a little bit extra of him. We got a little bit extra of Willie. That was cute, you know?
It was
more
okay.
Of Tayshia and Caitlin being Tayshia and Caitlin. And then the basketball date, Rodney actually making his weird trick shot, which was total luck. This was really fun to me because it brings me back to high school when, you know, you are at, like, one of the final home games of the year, and that one kid that's been riding the bench the whole time, the whole season, or the manager finally puts on a uniform, and he gets out there, and he makes a three. Oh, man. The crowd goes wild. Oh,
I love it.
I love those moments.
Give the manager minutes. I love those moments. On senior night, the manager comes out and hits a shot.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
And everyone rushes the stands and just tears down the basket. That's what should happen
every year.
Every, like, high school team manager in every sport should get a moment like that.
Yes.
It should just be a law. That should have to happen.
Yes. And that was very much this energy of Rodney making this trick shot.
It was the dumbest. Like, I'm a bit of a trick shot purist.
Ugh.
But, like,
Adam watches a lot of YouTube videos about this.
I do. Okay. I do. And the thing is, Rodney's trick shot, it's like, it's a trick shot you make or your attempt when you don't know what a trick shot is. It's like, it wasn't a full court shot or a eyes closed, blindfolded, backwards.
No.
It was just sort of like he threw the ball.
He lobbed it over his shoulder.
It was kind of just a backwards layup, but he kind of threw the ball first and then caught it and then... It wasn't bad. It was, you know.
It wasn't bad, but
show me you've never seen a trick shot video without showing me you've never seen a trick shot video.
It was unexpected. It was sweet.
But the reaction was so genuine.
It was great. And you know what? That means people like Rodney. And that is what really matters.
I would like Rodney too.
Yeah.
You know, he's nice. He's just not attractive. Like, the rest of him is perfect.
Right. So we're going to do this a little bit out of order. I want to wait and sort of do our bold predictions all together, both for Clayton's season and for what's going to happen with Michelle's final three. So let's talk a little bit about Michelle coming out on the couch and greeting the gentleman before the end of the episode. I mean, again, this is always the moment in the show where, you know, the lead comes out and the gentlemen that are left are always kind of like, well, you know, what did you, you know, why didn't you pick me? This was a little bit flipped and nobody seemed to, nobody asked that question. The way that the format of this was a little bit different, where Michelle basically sat on the couch and then the guys were called on one by one to sort of address their indiscretions. And it seemed like all of the guys that they called on were all the villains, basically, to be shamed by Michelle in her teacher voice to say, you need to apologize for what you did.
It was very much a long act of television that was a compliment sandwich. She goes, listen, Rodney and Rick, you guys are great. Thank you for being here. Loved having you on the show. Hope you find love. Awesome. Great. Okay. Now all the villains, line them up and I'm just going to shoot them down. And
bingo.
Like, she had, I don't know if she practiced these lines ahead of time or if she just spoke really well off
the
cuff. I
think this is Michelle because she was this on the show.
I think either one is equally likely, but she just lined them up and just shot them all down.
Yeah, she said to Jamie, basically, like, you haven't learned anything about this experience. You're sitting here lying to me right now.
It was just punching bag
time.
You
don't respect anyone. You don't understand me. You are a loser.
She just let them have it.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, she goes, oh, yeah, and Olu's great, too, right? How about Olu?
And everyone goes, yay!
It was a multi-layered compliment
she
sandwich.
She laid into Martin, and Martin, being himself, always wants to get the last word. So he's like, you know, being part of this experience, you know, really, you know, it brought me to my soulmate. And she's like, whatever.
I think these guys, our particular villains from this season, are incredibly predictable.
Yeah.
And if you were Michelle, looking to sort of just line them up and knock them down, it would be extremely easy to predict what they're going to say back and just sort of like, you know, have a few talking points in your bag just in case. But, it's, you know, that's what people want to see on the shows. They want comeuppance, and that's what she got. She goes, I'm going to have 20 seconds of nice stuff, couple of minutes of just hate, and then one more nice thing about Olu.
Yeah. I will say the one thing about these villains this season is that a lot of the guys are very real world villains versus, you know, people that are, you know, but you know what I mean?
They're not like Lex Luthor.
No,
right?
I mean, it's not like Brainiac is coming down here and, you know, trying to take over, you know, Metropolis or whatever. Like, they're very real world villains. They're the kind of guys that, you know, will gaslight you and ghost you or make you think you said something that you didn't say, or the kind of guy that is posing as a nice guy, but every time you go out, he talks over you. Or, you know, the kind of guy who presents himself really well and then always says to you, well, you don't understand what I'm saying. Those are all real life, like, kind of guy relationship douchebag kind of things that women get into relationships with, and they're trying to figure out, okay, am I crazy or is this actually happening? That is the one thing I do appreciate about this season, where the villains feel very tangible to the real world, as opposed to being like, you know, someone who's like insanely racist and trying to, you know, say something to somebody. Like, that kind of person
they're
is
just
not somebody that you would normally, you would
just
actually
regular
date.
Old bad guys.
They're regular bad guys.
They're all like a little bit kind of like, you know, a guy you may have dated before, one of your friends
dated
before.
Exactly.
Monsters that are
monsters that, you know, walk among us, you know?
Exactly.
They're like,
but on television.
It's like BTK. You know, he went to church and, you know, had a family and everything, but then at the same time, yikes, doing that weird stuff.
All the
being and teeing and caing. Yeah. Exactly. So now that we're basically through the episode, we have some great bloopers, a lot of bugs involved, of course. Here's some bold predictions. So I think let's start with the end of Michelle's season before we get into Clayton's sort of thing. So what are your bold predictions based on the trailer that we saw of the three gentlemen that are left?
I think Joe loses instantly. I think Joe is out first.
Why? What is your reasoning for that?
I think she gets along with Brandon a lot better than I've been anticipating.
That Brandon thing really came out of nowhere for me, right?
I like Brandon.
Yeah.
I think he is the best. I think he's the just nicest guy left. He just, I don't know how sustainable I could hang out with a guy like that.
But he's not dating you.
I know, but it just feels, it feels like fake and cheesy. It feels like that. And she knows it does. And you gotta think that's grinding.
I think of the three that are left, obviously one of the big storylines is that these guys have all pretty much been friends and like not really had to engage with one another and their relationships in a long time. But now that it's just the three of them and they're really starting to see the cracks in their sort of, I'm so confident and I don't need to worry about anybody else facade. And especially you see that from Nate. And I don't want to say this, but I think Nate is weaker of character than we thought previously. I am nervous and I am worried. Now the more that I think about it, I hope that she doesn't pick Nate. I know that Nate is, we see Nate as the best among us, but I think about it, I don't think he is ready.
I think he is.
I think Brandon is ready. I think Brandon is... Brandon, with all the smarminess and all the cheesiness and everything, there is an earnestness to him that makes me feel like, you know what? That's just Brandon. He's just excited to be here all the time.
Yeah, but I think you make the pick with the chemicals inside of you.
You don't
ration it out.
You're right.
And like Nate's got the magnetism.
Nate is the alpha, baby. He's the alpha.
You hang out with all three of them and you walk away from it and you go, oh my God, I wonder what Nate thought about me.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah. And Joe, like you said, I think Joe's just not enough. He's just not enough. And he's never going to be enough. He's always going to be like this.
I don't want it to be my position that stupid people don't deserve love.
And he's not stupid. I don't think Joe is stupid. I just think Joe... Well,
that makes one of us. It's not true. Like, stupid people deserve love. Just find it on your own. Don't make me watch it on TV.
Leave me out of it.
Yes, leave me out of it. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Leave me out of it. So we'll see next week on the Fantasy Suites to, figure out what happens.
This is the only weird Monday night for the show, Tuesday morning for us thing. We will be back on the next two Wednesdays to lock the season up for goodsies, to be clear.
So finally, I want to talk about the Clayton of it all. So we've seen more in this trailer than I think we've seen in previous trailers. Of course, you know, the women we're back to traveling a lot, which is kind of a big deal. The one thing that I think is important to mention here is it seems like they basically told us the end of the show.
So
Clayton is in love with three women. He said that they showed us all three women. He said, I'm in love with you.
Their faces are there.
Their faces are in the shots. They're right there. And then the final shot of the trailer is him saying to all three of them, they only show two. Now let's remember.
Both of you.
Right. But they only show two of them. So, I mean, obviously it can't be, that can't be...
an on-air suicide or something.
Right. What?
Where did the third one go?
No, I mean, she was not in the shot. Because the way that they shot it pulled back from the stairs. And so, and I also think that might have been a Franken edit. Because it seems weird that they would have all three, two people shown in the shot. When it's very clearly... after the Fantasy Suites, where it's three of them standing up there. You know what I mean?
What if they just did a weird photo shoot somewhere in the middle of it with only three girls and they're just dubbing everything and...
That seems super weird because he also said, basically, this is the kicker, that he slept with all three of them and that pissed everybody off.
If that pisses you off, I don't know why you're on the show.
That's what happens. Like, why is that...
Yeah, it's certainly not ideal, but it's the way the show works.
Yeah, I mean, unless he promised you that, like, I'm not going to have sex with anybody.
Oh, maybe he did that, too. Maybe he did that with all of them, too.
And that we don't know, but, like, it's it seems weird that they would, one, show the faces of these final two out of three or four women, and then also show this narrative that he's saying, I love you, to three women at the end of the show.
It does seem like they gave away too much.
100% of the season. So what's that about?
I guess theoretically one of the three of them will go on to be the winner and everything. But
we already know her. Why not? Now, just, I know your face.
Why not just start on the second to last episode?
Why not just not show us that at all? Weird.
Maybe it's more interesting than we think. So I don't know.
Again, Clayton shouldn't be the Bachelor, but who am I to judge? I'm just a woman that co-hosts a moderately successful radio internet show.
Correct.
Well, guys, I guess that's it. I'm sorry this whole episode was really convoluted and weird.
Yeah, they all are. There's no way around it.
All the mental episodes are convoluted and weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God our shows are always great.
That's right, because you know what I love? Structure.
Right. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Okay, bye. Class
dismissed! If you don't like drama, why are you the Bachelorette? I'm really, like, an anti-drama person. It's the Bachelor, it's the Bachelorette. Like, there's drama, a sea of drama. Yes, it can cause drama.
Get into it. Drama.
Many people who buy into the drama.